come here 2 years in a row to pray for Bristol and for the UK, and they're coming again. If anyone would like to connect with them in any way, Christy and the Welcome Desk has an itinerary. There are loads of different ways we can connect with them and partner and co-labour with them in intercession. We think it has been incredibly strategic each time. It's not accident, it's not coincidental. The Lord is moving things, and he has called them again for such a time as this to partner with us and give birth, to co-labour. Intercession is it's a labouring process to give birth to a movement of God, a deep, deep reconnectedness with God in this nation and in this city. We've had a prophetic word that this city is a healing capital in the United Kingdom, which is just such a lovely phrase. So we agree with that word, we bless it, and we partner with that word to see it happen. Let's worship him. Just recover that sense of his permanent presence with us and connectedness with us, and worship him acceptably with reverence and awe. And then we will have Matt speaking on this series that we're doing, which is for such a time as this. It's how to live well in the promised land rather than living cyclically in fear and grumbling and complaining in the desert. We can move into a posture where our life, we live well, fruitfully, productively and effectively in the promised land. And that's what we're pressing into every week on this talk series. And just one more thing. Last week I talked about how you deal with disappointment and the virtue, if you like, of perseverance. And I played what I thought was just a very helpful 10-minute section of a talk by Bill Johnson, because I think he's been there and seen it and has contended and broken through in perseverance in a way that certainly I haven't and few other people have. And he gives us some incredibly helpful tools to deal with disappointment. The first thing is we get alone with God and we pour out our heart to him. And I would add to that that we find our threes and fours. There is a place to pour out our heart, and it's with God, and threes and fours. And in that way, we're never exposed. We are fully authentic, but we're never exposed. So we find God and we pour out our heart until he speaks. We find our threes and fours. Then we stay. Yeah, we stay until he speaks to us. So please listen to that talk last week for how to break through, especially when we hit things which are very, very difficult and challenging. Let's worship him now and then be prepared in our spirit to hear what the Holy Spirit says to us about how to live effectively and productively in our knowledge and our experience of Jesus. And I pray now, Lord, we just love full connectedness with you. We love it. We don't come here for any other reason, for that full and deep connectedness with you. We know that we experience it all the time, but there's something about being in the body, and it's something about being with people who are rich and who are different and diverse from us. There's something very powerful about connecting with you as a body. So we seek now to hear your voice. We seek now to reconnect with you. We want to be with you until you speak. So we authorize within this context, a loosening of the prophetic words to hear the living words you have for us today, that is our daily bread and will sustain and energize us. And also a real softening of our, a stilling of our hearts before you to receive from you. Amen. Pray for Matt, and as I say, please keep listening to the Lord for the living prophetic word. And thank you, Jesus, for this just this incredible man, this godly man, a man of real integrity, transparency, authority. He's a fantastic husband and father and friend and brother to many here. Thank you for him. thank you that he's part of our body. We're so grateful for who he is and what he brings. And we ask for your living word, the living word of God, the double-edged sword, to come forth from him today. And we sit at his feet and we kneel to receive that living word that heals us and restores us. Amen.
Okay. We're outside a large compound with a wall around it. It's the afternoon. The sky is blue. And as we kind of look into the compound, we see there's scattered whitewashed like bungalows. Some of those bungalows are surrounded by 6 or 7 foot walls. And on some of those walls are razor wire. Outside the gate, where we are, is a crowd of people. It's chaotic and it's noisy. There's adults and children. In fact, it's so busy that some of the people are climbing trees. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the traffic barrier at the front of the compound raises, and Nelson and Winnie Mandela walk out of the compound along the road to the waiting car. It's 1990. 4 years later, he's elected as president of South Africa. And in that same year, 1994, he published his autobiography, which he started 20 years earlier in Robben Island. It's called Long Walk to Freedom. Not so long ago, there was a documentary on BBC One about Obama. And one of the Vox Pops interviews of him, he made this comment. He said, "I'm temperamentally optimistic, and I tend to take the long view. I'm temperamentally optimistic, and I tend to take the long view." What's the relevance? Well, I'd suggest that this passage in 2 Peter that we've been looking at could well be titled A Long Walk to Freedom. It's about the business of our journeys with Jesus and taking the long view. And Peter, in fact, presents us. He's writing, remember, to followers of Jesus. And he presents us with 2 options, 2 possibilities, 2 types of follower, I suppose. And it's fairly blunt. It is effective followers and ineffective followers. Productive followers and unproductive followers. Now, here's my problem in approaching the day when I would stand here behind the mic, 11:45, is that I feel like an ineffective follower most of the time. Perhaps I'm on my own, but I doubt it. I often feel that this 30-year attempt of mine to follow Jesus has failed. It just doesn't work. I can't do it. So how do I stand behind the mic and talk about it? Well, 2 reasons, I think. One is, Peter understood what it was to fail. No one else did. He really did, didn't he? And the second thing is that in the passage, he gives me the answer to my sense of ineffectiveness. And he tells me how it is that I might make sure that whatever I feel, I'm not in the ineffective camp. So is anyone interested in that? Good. Here's the first one, John. Well, here's the answer, and it's okay. I'm going to unpack it. Here might be the answer. I don't know. I'll tell you. So he says this. In order to be effective, or in order not to be ineffective, we're to make every effort to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. If we possess these qualities in increasing measure, then we'll be effective. Great. Should we go home? So obviously, to my mind, the question is, how do you do that? Well, I grew up in North Yorkshire. Best beer, best tea, best cricket. And, of course, the best landscapes in the country. And when in the 80s, we had this car, or a similar one like it, next one. It's a Ford Escort Estate. It had, in the back seat, was a kind of fake plasticky yellow beige thing with ridges so that when you sat in shorts, you sort of stuck to the seat. And I would be on the right, I'm the eldest. My sister would be on the left. The long-suffering youngest, Tim, would be in the middle. And we would, of course, go on trips and drives through the countryside to wherever we were. And I should say that my dad was a geography teacher for a long time, 25 years. And so on occasions when we were passing some hillock or rock, he would regale us with accounts of how it was that that rock came to be, which, as you can imagine, met with choruses of displeasure from the back seat. And I want us to take that image, as it were, and we're going to travel through the landscape of our followership of Jesus in an attempt to understand what might make it effective. Okay? And I've stolen this, but it's good. All right? So the first piece of landscape is not found in Yorkshire, so we'll skip over it quickly. And it's also not the primary emphasis of our passage, but I think it's important to touch on it. So let's go for this one now, John. So how do we make every effort? I want to suggest that one of the marks of our journey with God, our walk with God, the long walk, is eruption. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are times and occasions and seasons, if you want to use that language, when God encounters us in a particular and special and profound way. It may be that we find ourselves healed after having suffered from sickness for a long time. It may be that we go to a conference and God speaks to us very powerfully in a way that shifts our perspective. It may be that we have a year out or a couple of years at a church, which is, and the point of that is really to soak up and encounter God, and it's profound and it's wonderful, and we need to embrace and engage with those times. I don't think that's what this passage primarily is, but it's relevant because this is part of our journey and how we might walk effectively with God. That we, number one, embrace times of encounter when the kind of warmth of the love of God is just all around us. It's not all the time, but it is sometimes. And secondly, we can engage in that, I think, by being aware that that's an option. That I'm a fan of pilgrimage, and I don't mean, you know, going to an empty old building in Europe. I mean taking a journey towards somewhere where you expect to encounter God. And that involves effort, doesn't it? So the journey itself is part of the prayer. We might go somewhere for healing, we might go to a conference, we might go on retreat. But eruption's part of our making every effort. But it's not in Yorkshire, so let's skip over it. So the next one. This is in Yorkshire. This is Brimmen Rocks, Millstone Grit, I'll have you know. Yeah. And so what's this in the landscape of life? Well, it's erosion. And you and I, in our journey with Jesus, will be eroded. As the weather, as the hail and the wind and the storms hit the rock and wear it down. We use that expression, don't we? Worn down or worn out or those sorts of expressions. And the fact is that that's a universal experience. If you think it's just you, it isn't just you. So what does it look like? What do I mean, make every effort in that area? Well, I think, and this is one of the choices that I think Peter's describing between effective and ineffective. He's saying this: do you conclude in the area in which you find yourself battered that God isn't good? Or do you choose that that is your absolute bottom line? Do you think that, you know, the relationship that you've been hoping for hasn't come along, or your friendships are fractured, so God's not interested in you? Or do you conclude that it's difficult, but you're going to press in? Do you think that church is hard and you just can't seem to get in there, and it's just, do you stay at home and forget it? Or do you believe that you're invited into a family of God and it doesn't feel like that, but you're going to press in? Do you decide that in that area of life where you're battered in your heart, you're going to offer God the rest and think, actually, I'm sorry, you just have let me down there, and you're not having that part? Or do you take, and this is not trite, because it's make every effort, right? Or do you say, well, this is really difficult, but here I am. I invite you into that place in my life where I'm eroded. Our friends at CrossNet, another church in Bristol, have five kind of, not rules, but, you know, if you're a member, you're committing to these five things, and some of them are quite obvious, you know. Pray and seek God daily. Pray for those who don't know Jesus. And the fifth one is this. Seek to understand how God is making me more like Jesus in every circumstance of life. That is making every effort when our lives are eroded. All right, next bit of landscape. Let me just refresh my memory. Excavation. This isn't fair from Brim Rocks. It's in Nidderdale. It's limestone, I think. Excavation. Or digging, if we forget about the alliteration. No matter whether you're in a time of encounter or whether you're in a time when you feel battered, the follower, the effective, the fruitful, the successful, if you like, follower of Jesus, is invited to dig. Eugene Peterson has written a book similarly titled to Nelson Mandela's. It's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. The strap line, discipleship in an instant society. We're just invited to dig into God all the time, all the journey. And what does that look like? Well, of course, we have the words of Jesus. We have the Bible to understand that. But we also have the witness of 2,000 years of church history, which would suggest to us that engaging with the, however we want to use, language we want to use, engaging with the classic spiritual disciplines is the or a way of digging into him. Fasting, accountability, fellowship, worship, giving, the list goes on, prayer, silence, solitude, retreat, study. They're not sort of tag-ons. They're fundamental to whether or not we want to be in the effective or the ineffective camp, and that's not a law or a rule, it just is. There's an experienced church leader who says to me, in his observation, those who engage with these things grow, and those who don't grow so much. That's just how it is. And it's how the long walk is designed. And we find, of course, when we do dig, that we hit seams of gold, that we find water below the surface. And ultimately, that what always happens when you dig is that you end up deeper than you started. And we find both as we excavate and as we engage with erosion well, that the qualities that were on the first slide, to our surprise, seem to be growing. How's that? It's not by get up in the morning and trying, but somehow as we follow in the way that it's designed like this, by indirect effort, the things that we were looking for seem to appear in our lives. We're more peaceful, we're more faith-filled, we're more loving. So, yeah. So there's times of encounter, of eruption with God. There's always an opportunity in the erosion of life to turn towards or away, to run towards or to back off. And there's the constant invitation to excavate, to dig into him, to practice the habits that will enable us to go deeper. And the consequences if we don't, well, in the NIV it says that we'll end up nearsighted and blind, which is a strange way around, isn't it? How does that happen? Well, is my suggestion. Nearsighted means you've lost the long view. You've lost the long view. And if you've lost that, you've lost sight of Jesus. And if you've lost sight of Jesus, what the Bible says is that you're blind. And it also says more worryingly that we will also become forgetful of what he's done for us. Now remember again Peter, who's written this, one of Jesus' closest friends. He's seen Jesus with a physical dove fly out of the sky and land on his shoulder. He's seen him transfigured on a mountaintop talking to Moses and Elijah. He's seen him encounter God spectacularly. He's seen him so knackered that he falls asleep on a boat in a storm. And he's seen him grieve his cousin and chased by the crowds and rejected by the religious leaders. He's seen him eroded. And he's seen him day after day get up before dawn and walk up the mountain. He's seen him pray for every person who comes. He's seen him coach and teach his followers. He's seen him dig in. And if there's a consequence if we don't engage with these things, there's also a consequence if we do. And Peter says two things. Firstly, he says, you will not stumble. You will not stumble. And secondly, he says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why don't you stand with me a minute? You don't have to, but just a suggestion. It's it can be quite good just to open our hands as just a physical indication of what we want to say. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you that you're with us on the road. That you're the one who comes alongside. And we thank you that there are times when you meet us in a special way, and we say that we remain hungry for more of you. And we recognize too that there are areas of our lives that feel battered by the weather and of life. And we want to be honest with you. But we also want to invite you in and say that you're still God in those things. Say that we trust you. Say, would you come and help me? And we say that it's our choice in this long road to keep digging and not to down tools. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. We've got two prophetic words that we love to share, Helen and Jane, and we are going to finish formally now, but please stay and keep connecting with these words, with worship and with each other. If the Holy Spirit has brought anything up, he's so gentle and kind and so invitational that he invites us to respond and connect, but he doesn't force it, and so we can choose now to push into that which he has enlightened for us. But bless you all. Please, if you have children, please go and collect them. And we'll see you next week.
Hiya. In the worship, I felt, I just remember becoming a Christian and being so excited and running off here and running off there. And I felt God showing me kind of that picture of that, you know, horse, young horse, just running off. And but then I felt just gently, you know, like a trainer, just move the head a little bit, not kind of squashing me, but just moving into a direction which was his direction. And I felt it was like a thing of, you know, this pressing in, the, you know, the excitement and all that is wonderful, and God never squashes that, but pressing in is where we see amazing things. And I felt there was something about don't be frightened, actually, to press in, because we don't lose all that amazing feelings and stuff because it's even better. And it's not, and I really felt it. It's not about an age thing because I know Jake, you know, his walk is amazing. So it's not about age or how long you've been a Christian or anything like that. It's just about that little shift of God and don't be frightened.
It's more a prompt than anything else, and Matt's encouragement to press in, to dig deeper, and in that we are blessed to be a blessing into the city, the nation, and the world. And I was prompted by the Chris Tomlin song, and maybe one to go away and listen to during the week and pray into, when it says, you know, you're the God of this city, you're the God of these people, you're the God of this nation, and greater things are yet to come. So maybe take that away, look it up on YouTube or wherever, listen to it and pray it and see what comes out, see what God's saying.
We're loving a faith of healing testimony each week, and this is our one this week.
Yeah, so more healing has taken place with me, as well as some words that we're just sensing the Lord saying. Friday evening, went to Limelight, is it Kingfisher Cafe?
Yep,
Kingfisher Cafe in Fish Ponds. And I just had a sense, because I had a lump in my back, because during the time where I was dealing with ME, my spine would lock, so I wouldn't be able to move my spine, and I would be in a lot of pain, and someone would have to actually physically move me until my spine actually relaxed. So we just think that opened up a weakness. So I had a lump on my spine, which caused a lot of pain. And then Friday night, I just felt the Lord say to me really strongly, you know, you're going to be healed of this tonight. Because Sam and Shirley, I had come up to ask for prayer about it, and they had just sensed the Lord saying, you know, he's going to be healing you, restoring you to completeness a step at a time. This Friday, this wonderful woman, Rachel, but more amazingly, God using her, because God is just amazing. And it's often when we are the most vulnerable that God uses us to do the most amazing stuff. She was just praying for me, and we were just feeling it loosen in my back and actually pulsate and move around. And it just went down and vanished completely. So it was really large, seeable, with bruising round it. So we just went into the loos, me and Mum afterwards, and had a look. And it's like completely gone. So, woo, praise God. So, yeah.
I just want to encourage everybody, actually, because I went to that service looking for my own healing. I've had a bit of a rough week. They found lumps. They found all sort of stuff. I want to declare now, whatever the prognosis, my prognosis is, but God. Yeah. So I went looking for my own healing, and what built my faith more than anything else was feeling that lump, which was literally the size of quite a large marble, pulse under my finger and totally vanish. And in complete lack of faith, I was going, I actually can't find it. Let's just have another look. Let's have another look. And it's gone. It's gone. You know, he's real. He is working through incredibly ordinary, seemingly insignificant people in the natural. Yeah. And that's the word of hope I want to speak over us today, because I know, I saw a picture this morning of a ship in full sail, rocks and storms around us. And I know that's what it feels like for so many people right now going through what we're going through as a nation. But the word was, the smallest rudder can steer this ship. Mm-hmm. And for many, many years now, we've prophetically been having the word that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. We are seeing that word come to pass. And his word over that, the grace that trumps that, is fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And through this all, the church, I promise you, is going to rise up and be the rudder that steers us through this mess like we have never seen. And it will be ordinary people. I mean, he can talk through a donkey. He can use me and all my imperfections to heal. I've prayed for a lot of healing, but the reason I'm so encouraged by this one, it's the first one I've actually seen completely go before my eyes. So it was very exciting. And every single one of us has got that same power that raised Christ from the dead in us. And I just think he's saying that for such time as this, rise up in all that you are and be part of that rudder that is going to steer this ship. Yeah. It's not maybe we're not going to crash on the rocks. I know it looks awful, but please, please keep looking up. His kingdom's coming. Amen.
I just feel really prompted to share a short passage this morning because it spoke to me perhaps about my own inadequacies and times when I don't feel I get it right. And it's from the book of Ruth. And Ruth is treated very kindly by Boaz and she doesn't really understand why. And she falls at his feet and says to him, "Why are you being so kind to me? I'm only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know about the love and kindness you have shown your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully." And it was a real prompt to me about taking refuge in God. And then when Matt started talking about times of erosion in life, I've had a very dramatic time of erosion 10 years ago when I had a stroke at the age of 34. And that was very difficult. But I was able to take refuge under his wings. And almost the first thing I heard consciously coming round and realising what had happened was, "Be still and know that I am God." Faith in God is my bottom line. And I pray that for anyone here who hasn't yet found that bottom line of trust, no matter what is going on in your life, that God is good. That pray or ask somebody to pray for you today, that you will find that rock on which to stand.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Bless you. Have a fantastic week. Let's keep sharpening iron with each other to contend to be good news for those around us. Amen.